This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Top Shelf Sports Talk. You're hanging out in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan, Rochester.
Look at our guy. I feel like you can't turn on ESPN and not see Marcel Louis Jacques represent, covering the Miami Dolphins for ESPN. Man, it's great to have you on with us, Marcel. Thanks for making time. We know how busy your schedule is. And let's face it, you're covering a team that probably is a little bit more rich in drama, theatrics, and headlines than what you had here in Western New York. How are you, buddy?
Yeah, just a bit, man. Just a bit. But of course, man, you know I had to carve out some time for y'all. It is no issue whatsoever. Thanks for having me on again.
Marcel, gosh, the gap between these two teams, the Bills and Dolphins, it came down to the last game, literally, in the NFL regular season. And you're figuring, boy, this is going to be a lot closer. What are the issues beyond Tua Tagovailoa in the injury? And we'll get into all that surrounding Tua there. But what are the issues surrounding the Dolphins that have set this team back, would you say?
Well, I mean, it really, you have to, of course, like you said, start with the quarterback position. You know, once upon a time in training camp, it did seem like Skylar Thompson was an adequate backup. It has become pretty clear that that was not the move. That was not the case. And this offense struggled. And without him, you know, Thompson obviously went down that first game. Tyler Huntley couldn't get it going. Tim Boyle in spurts couldn't get it going. And kind of the rest of the team is more or less atrophied from there. But with Tua back, the issue of number three receiver is still very, you know, it's still prevalent. That was an area that they tried pretty hard to remedy this offseason, signing Jonnu Smith, signing Odell Beckham Jr. And, you know, while Jonnu has started to come on as of late, you know, the Odell signing still really hasn't paid off. We're still waiting to see Odell pop. And, you know, the defense has been kind of hanging on by a thread here. But when you're only getting about 10, 11 points a game of support from your offense, you know, you can only do so much. They're the second best, I think maybe third best now, defense in the NFL in terms of third down conversion rate. But, you know, then again, that by itself is not enough to buoy an entire unit. So there's issues all across the board. And now, of course, as is seemingly always the issue at this point in the season, they're starting to get hit hard by injuries. Zach Sealer is not going to play on Sunday. Javon Holland is doubtful to play. Kader Kohu's not going to play. Like, those are three pretty critical defensive starters that they're going to be without here.
Marcel, I want to ask you about the job you think Mike McDaniel has done through all the adversities of this season. But coming into this game, I know a lot of people are saying that the Bills should be wary of Miami, that they're going to be a desperate team coming into Orchard Park. And my take on that is, are they desperate or are they defeated? Because I could make the argument that coming in here, they might be just as defeated, if not more defeated, than they are desperate. Which version of the Dolphins do you think we get on Sunday?
I think for now we see desperate. Obviously, it's going to take some sort of miracle to come back and win the AFC East. But, I mean, the Bills last year were down, what was it, five games, and came back and managed to win it. And that was a lot later point in the season. So it's still possible, but it is basically impossible if you lose the season series already. If you get that sweep and Buffalo has that tiebreaker and a 4.5-5 game lead over you, it's pretty over. So, you know, I think for right now, we still see desperation. I don't know if defeated shows up after this, if they lose. But for now, I think you're going to see a Dolphins team that's got a sense of urgency about it.
Marcel Louis-Jacques, our guest here. So go back to week two. Bills win that one 31-10. And you know, we come back on the air Friday, Marcel, and it didn't feel really like a victory Friday, if you will, because a lot of people didn't like seeing Tua get hurt. And we're just kind of concerned about him as an individual. But then you realize, oh, he is actually going to go through the whole protocol. He is going to come and try back. How has Tua's return, knowing that a lot of us are kind of conflicted, how has that been received there by the Dolphin fan base, would you say?
I think it's been pretty split. You know, a lot of people, and you know, teammates included, saying, hey, this is a grown man making a decision about himself, his own body, his own career. I think they want people to leave it at that. Tua has, you can tell it's a sensitive subject. You can tell that he gets a little testy when it's brought up. He hates that he's become, you know, the face of concussions in the NFL. He hates the Tua rule. He hated it back then. Doesn't like it being still discussed. Doesn't appreciate, I guess he appreciates the concern, but doesn't necessarily think it's warranted, I guess, let's say. And from the Dolphins' perspective, you know, they were ultra-focused on obviously getting him healthy. And it's kind of hard when it's a concussion, right? Because it's not like, oh, you can just rehab your knee, or you can, you know, rehab your ankle or shoulder. Like, really all you can do in this situation is rest. So that's exactly what he did. He rested, he waited, he watched as this team, you know, struggled without him. That was pretty frustrating. But I think he realizes, Dolphins, the franchise realizes, it's not that he's more at risk for a concussion. It's more concerning that he put himself in a position to be hurt in the first place. You know, that he knew better than to go head first and initiating contact to finish a run. That's something that they've worked on over the past year. He did a pretty good job last year, if I might say, of protecting himself and making sure, you know, that his head didn't hit the ground. That jiu-jitsu regimen, I think, deserves a little more credit than it got ridicule, considering the ridicule it got last year. But it worked. So I don't think this is an area where they see themselves as having, like, this frazzled quarterback as much as, like, hey, man, you need to just know when to say when.
So do you think, Marcel, that the team, for a league that preaches player safety the way they do, and I think many of us as fans, we just kind of roll our eyes, right? We think, okay, yeah, you're saying it, but you're not really doing it other than what you're showing us in a 30-second promo during a game on TV. But, you know, could this have been maybe a little bit more well-received if he considered the guardian cap, or if they enforced the guardian cap on him? I know that you get into player union issues with that as well, but he was pretty adamant about never even giving that a second thought.
Yeah, I'm glad that you brought that up, because that's been probably the most popular criticism levied his way. Research-wise, the guardian cap is not necessarily proven to work. I know, like, it's an additive, so you would think, okay, it can't help, or it can't technically hurt, right? Like, it's an extra layer of padding. But it is, you know, scientifically, the lab research might show that it can be incrementally helpful, but the on-field research showed essentially no difference. And so from Tua's perspective, you know, this is something new that I would have to get used to. It adds a little bit more weight. I talked to Chris Nowinski, you know, from the Concussion Legacy Foundation. He said that it, you know, it adds more weight. It actually increases the likelihood of his head hitting the ground, ironically enough. And not to mention then there's the psychological aspect, right? Where you have to think, okay, I'm not necessarily planning to be hurt, but it's one more thing I'm thinking about. It's like, you know, if you add a whole bunch of pads on when you're learning how to skateboard, you're kind of doing so with not the expectation of failure, but the realization that failure is possible. So I think there's a psychological aspect to it as well, that, you know, it would have hurt, or it would have helped everybody else if he had explained that himself. But that is my take on it, that the guardian cap doesn't actually work. He where is the safest helmet, the safest rated helmet for his specific position that is meant to protect against, you know, hits that a quarterback could take. I think the Guardian Cap is helpful for maybe a lineman or a position that repeatedly takes hits to the head and micro impacts to the head. But in terms of a quarterback in that position, it's not necessarily helpful. So I think, again, it would have helped if he had said that himself so that, you know, me and my coworkers didn't have to try to make sense of it. But that's my take on it based on the research I've done, based on the people that I've spoken with. The gist of it is the Guardian Cap is not necessarily as helpful as the NFL has kind of made it seem. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Marcel Louis-Jacques, our guest here, former Buffalo Bills reporter for ESPN, going down covering the Dolphins now. And following you is Jordan Poyer. And Marcel, I'm really curious because I think sometimes the tribute video can be, you know, not necessary, but I think this will be actually a cool moment if it's done correctly, where the Bills fan base, I'm sure, is going to show their appreciation. Tell us what it's been like here for Jordan, because we haven't watched as much Dolphin football as you, certainly, but, you know, from what we saw in week two, it didn't look all that good there for the former Buffalo Bill.
No, it's been a tough start. It's been a tough start to the season, and not just for him individually, just obviously for the team as a whole. This isn't what he signed up for. You know, nobody signs up to go 2-6, but there are some, there are some places you can sign with, some teams you can sign with, where you kind of know, okay, like, we're probably not contending for a championship here. Like, you know what you've got. The expectation signing Miami was to compete for a Super Bowl. So, you know, anything that falls short of that obviously is a disappointment. I think he deserves, though, in that return to Buffalo, he deserves as long of a tribute video as the Bills media department, or not media department, but game ops department can muster up, because of what he meant to that city, what he meant to that team, what he meant for the trajectory of that franchise, really. Him, Micah Hyde, Tre'Davious White, you know, all these guys who have left Buffalo in one way or another, you know, they deserve all of that. They deserve all of that recognition. So hopefully he gets it. I know he wants a win. I know he's looking forward to either picking off Josh Allen, or in his mind, hopefully even hitting Josh Allen. We'll see. There's not a whole lot of players who've gotten an open shot on Josh over the past few years, so I don't know if it's going to happen necessarily, but I know that he's looking forward to the challenge.
Marcel, I look around the NFL and I see teams, much like the Dolphins, that have struggled with situations at quarterback, and they've had their starter miss time, missed games. They've made adjustments. They've brought in quarterbacks from the outside in the case of Green Bay. They've won games with Malik Willis, and Matt LaFleur is somebody who, like Mike McDaniel, is considered this offensive guru. So is the drop-off in talent from, say, a Malik Willis to a Skylar Thompson or a Tyler Huntley that steep where McDaniel can't get some of those wins that you had without Tua on the field? Put a number or a grade on the job you think McDaniel has done through the adversities of this season.
Oh, man. I think I'm probably going to have to go somewhere in the C range because you see it with Malik Willis. You know, the Packers run a different offense when Malik Willis is in the game. They run the ball something like 70% of the time, even including with Malik Willis, who that's his specialty, right? Like, that's what he's good at. That is what he's known for. Tyler Huntley is not known to make quick decisions and be accurate with the ball in that short to intermediate range like Tua is. So to run a similar offense with him and expect similar results, I think is a little crazy. So I was a little surprised that they didn't run more RPO, more zone read, more just design quarterback runs. And I don't know if that's maybe an effort to make sure that Huntley didn't get hurt, you know, make sure they didn't lose another quarterback. But ironically, he did end up getting hurt. He is on injured reserve. He probably won't be seen again for the rest of the season. So, like, I think, you know, you could have maybe switched things up. Hindsight's obviously 20/20. With Skylar Thompson, you'd like to think, like, hey, man, this is year three. This is your third year in the system. It's all you know. Like, I know you're not Tua, but we would expect you to make quicker decisions. And he didn't. It was the same issues that we saw from him as a seventh-round rookie a couple years ago, you know, running around Ralph Wilson Stadium trying to beat the Bills in a playoff game, but couldn't pull the trigger in certain situations. That's the same thing we saw in his limited action against the Seahawks this year. So it's, you know, I'm not going to sit here and act like they have the best backup quarterback situation in the NFL. And by all means, they tried to go get a name that I thought made perfect sense, which is C.J. Beathard, who was he was one of the backups in San Francisco when McDaniel was there. He knows that offense. He can run it. He showed that he could run it well in a pinch. They did reach out to him. He just wasn't healthy. He had been released by the Jaguars with the injury settlement at the beginning of the season, and he just wasn't ready. But he's on the roster now, but he wasn't ready back when they needed him a month ago. So, I'm not going to act like they had the best backup quarterback situation in the world, but I don't think that they put together an offensive game plan that was conducive to success based on the talent they had at their disposal.
Marcel, if the Dolphins don't come out on top at 2-7, it's really difficult. Question about the trade deadline. Would you expect the Dolphins to be sellers here, perhaps? If so, who might be some of those players that teams will come calling on?
Yeah, I think somebody will probably end up. I see Bills fans clamoring for it. Somebody would probably come calling for Calais Campbell. You know, this is a situation, again, where he signed with the expectation of competing for a Super Bowl. And that seems pretty distant, especially, you know, if they lose on Sunday and start 2-6. That's a tough hole to climb out of. If he were healthy, I would say a guy like Bradley Chubb. But unfortunately, I don't think anybody is trading for Bradley Chubb right now. That's the most, maybe that's their best asset who they would be willing to trade or I guess wouldn't cry themselves to sleep if they traded. Not to say they didn't like Bradley, you know, of course, and especially not after trading the first round pick for him a couple of years ago and signing him to a huge contract. But, you know, that's just, they drafted Chop Robinson. If they re-sign Jalen Phillips, they're obviously going to get him at a discount considering his torn Achilles and ACL in back-to-back years. They can clear a lot of space by getting rid of or by trading Bradley Chubb, but he's not healthy, so that's not going to happen. The name that I know everybody is gonna look at is Tyreek Hill. That is, you know, their most valuable realistic trade target right now. Trade asset right now. I just don't see it. I just don't see it. It would turn Jalen Waddle back into 1A, but like the gap after Waddle, if Tyreek is not available, is terrifying. If you're a Dolphins fan, it is terrifying. Their next leading receiver this year, guys, is Dee Eskridge. who has two catches for 36 yards. That is the third leading wide receiver right now.
Man.
They're getting River Craycraft back, hopefully this week, if not next week. He's going to immediately become wide receiver three, and it's not really even been a competition. Like I said, we're still waiting for the Odell Beckham experiment to pop. We're still waiting to see the returns on that. So it would be a scary world without Tyreek Hill. I think they could probably get either they could get a first or second for him. He's still that good. But I don't think it happens. I think they see this year as kind of an anomaly where Tua was hurt. It got them in a hole that they couldn't dig themselves out of. I don't think they see it as, indicative of their talent as a whole.
What's happened to Tyreek this year, Marcel? I mean, we remember how the year started for him with the off-field stuff, and then you have an on-field product here with Tyreek Hill, who's on pace to have a season where he's got less than 1,000 receiving yards. He just, is it injuries? Is there off-field stuff that's weighing heavily on his mind that's taking away from the focus? Is it simply the quarterback situation? What has been the plaguing Tyreek Hill's game so far this year?
I think people would be shocked to realize or to learn that he is a difficult player to throw the ball to, and this has nothing to do with his personality, his attitude, his work ethic, none of that. None of that. When he practices, he's the hardest working player on the team, to the point where McDaniel says they have to hold him back because he does too much at practice and they don't want him to wear himself out. It's none of that. It's not the diva behavior. It's not the troll behavior. It's simply that he's a 5'9", extremely freaking fast guy.
Yeah.
It's hard to hit that window if you're not used to hitting that window. Guys like Mahomes and Tua are two of the most accurate passers in the NFL. With any criticism you have about Tua, the one thing you cannot hold against him is that he is not accurate with the ball in that short to intermediate part of the field. Statistically, he is accurate with the deep ball as well, but I don't want to open that can of worms. He is accurate in that short to intermediate, 0 to 15 yards from the line of scrimmage. He can hit those windows consistently, but if you're not used to throwing to 5'9" players, small window players with 4.2, 4.3 speed, that's a hard thing to get used to in real time. And especially, if you're not used to seeing it, it's a hard trigger to pull. Like, these windows are already closer. They're small enough. They're tight enough. Like, if you're hesitant at all, then you're not going to let that thing go. It's not as easy as, let's say, you step into a situation with Justin Jefferson, right? We've seen about a half dozen backup caliber quarterbacks throw him the ball over his career, or DeAndre Hopkins back in the day in Houston, where this is a big target. This is a 6'1", maybe 6'2" receiver. Like, he's good speed, but not blazing 4.2 40-yard dash speed. Like, it's an easier window to hit. It's a bigger target to hit. It's easier to just funnel targets to that person. So I think it's just harder to throw the ball to the Dolphins receivers than you would expect. And I think that since wide receiver three, as I've been saying, is still a pretty prevalent concern, I think you go into the offseason and you look for a bigger bodied receiver. And that's tough because I think the big catch radius receiver is sort of antiquated in the NFL. You still have to find somebody who can separate, but this isn't more about the window or the radius as it is just the overall size. Like, you have to add a little bit of size and a safety valve to this room, or if a situation occurs where Tua has to miss time, you're going to struggle again.
Marcel, I'm happy to report to you 58 degrees and sun, the forecast on Sunday. I don't know if 58 is too cool for you now, but when we look at this matchup here, though.
I think he's insulting you. I think he's calling you soft,
no,
Marcel.
No, I am not.
Like, he can't handle 58 degrees?
I honestly miss the crisp weather so much. And I can feel the eyes rolling as I say this, but, like, it's just... It's just 70 degrees always gets, it's like too much of a good thing, I guess. Like, I miss walking outside in the morning and, like, some cool air hits my face. Or, like, I miss being able to throw a hoodie on comfortably or a jacket on and know that I'm not, like, pushing it because it's 68 degrees,
yeah.
71 degrees, and I wanted to get a fit off. Like, I would love to wear a jacket again. The cold honestly never bothered me, man. Like, that, contrary to popular belief, the cold never bothered me because you can dress for it. You could dress for it. I love winter and fall fashion, so you could dress for it. It's the snow and the length of the snow that bothered me. You know, like I got friends going to, you know, going to the beach, going to the pool, doing this and that outside, and I'm scraping snow off my car in the middle of May. Yeah. And I was like, hey, man, enough is enough. This is ridiculous.
Marcel,
this is ridiculous.
While we have you, and we appreciate you giving us the time that you're giving us to talk about the game on Sunday, but, man, talk a little bit about yourself here. I mean, like I said at the beginning, we're seeing you on ESPN more often. It sounds like it looks like they're giving you a lot more opportunities to spread your wings. And I mean, I just got to imagine that this move that you've made, you know, it furthered your career in so many ways. And I don't know, I'm speaking for Gene here. I know we're immensely proud to kind of claim you as one of our guys because you coming to Buffalo before you went onto the bigger platform.
Yeah, man, I appreciate that. I'd always said that the move to Miami was it was a career move. There are some opportunities here that I don't think I would have gotten in Buffalo. You know, maybe at some point I could have gotten my way onto Around the Horn. It really would have been cool to be the first person ever to have Buffalo in the backdrop, or like Buffalo in the background. My Dateline, whatever we want to call it. Like, that would have been cool. Like, I would have taken a lot of pride in doing that for the city and the area. That would have been really cool. But the fact of the matter is, like, it was just things like the F1 race, the Messi coming to play down here in the MLS. Like, there were things that I was given an opportunity to cover that it wouldn't have happened in Buffalo. So, like, you know, the money is the money. It's nice. I'm not ever going to turn it down, but this was about just the opportunities. I don't know how many things I would have been able to do while covering the Bills. And ultimately, man, and nobody's going to like to hear this, but like nationally, people are not as interested in the Bills as, you know, people in Western New York are. Yeah. It's not to say that, you know, it's not to say they're not interesting. It's not to say that they should be or shouldn't be. But, like, nationally speaking, it's hard. The Bills don't capture the same kind of attention in Arizona or in California. And so, you know, consistently, I think it was one of our least viewed pages in our NFL block, which is crazy to me because I was like, everybody should care about this team. I remember when I first got there in 2019, midway through end of training camp, I'm telling everybody in Bristol, like, hey, the Bills are going to make playoffs this year. This defense is really good. Like, they're going to make the playoffs. And everybody blew it off. Everybody laughed at me like, okay, man, like, come on, stop it. That's a team that just went 6-10. You know, Josh Allen was still not a known commodity. He was still, the jury was still out on him. Like, that's kind of the Buffalo curse. And, you know, I think deep down, Buffalo is okay with that. Western New York is okay with that. Like, there's only a few cities that really can adopt that us against the world mentality. Like, I roll my eyes when like Boston or New York or LA tries to do it. No, it's like a market like Buffalo and Cleveland and Detroit, like, who can really say, you know, it's us against the world, that is just looked down on by so many other people that, like, they feel like, screw it, man, who needs an ally? Like, I don't need you to like us, we like us. So, like, it is what it is. I'm rambling a little bit here, man, but like I do always want it to be clear that you know, I didn't leave. I didn't leave because, like, I hated Buffalo so much. And, like, it's crazy to see people who say that he hated Buffalo all along. He hated Western New York. He was faithful. Like, no, I didn't, man. Like, I love that place. You can ask anybody who knows me. There's not a single person in the freaking media who's not in Buffalo who speaks higher of Western New York than I do. And I challenge people to find somebody, again, who is not Buffalo-based media, that speaks higher of that area and that region than I do. I love it to death, man. It's always my favorite road trip. This is always my favorite road trip. I can't wait to be there tomorrow. And you know, I've got no complaints. And of course, first and foremost, you know, I met my fiance down here, so nice. There can be no regret.
Quick fun follow-up here, last one, Marcel. When you're on Around the Horn, we take great pride in that. How competitive are you? How competitive does it get on that show?
Oh, man, like, I've walked out of that studio pretty mad sometimes. I'm going to be honest. Like, I've walked, I walked out of that studio like there's another panelist, there are two panelists that I'll talk to, and you know, like we can vent every now and then. But it's like it's so just unscripted, and there's no rubric, there's no scoring rubric.
Yeah.
So like it's just like the day. Like Tony might think something is funny one day, and he might think it's corny and bad point one the other. Like there's no uniformity here. It's just really like kind of seat of your pants stuff. So like you do have to decide. Like sometimes I make a point that I think like, man, this is going to get me all the points in the world, and it doesn't. And then another panelist will make a joke like that I think is corny, but it hits Tony.
Yeah.
Like it's like that much, got that much Soprano or that much Italian influence in it, that it hits a soft spot for him, and he loves it. And like I've been on the other end of that too, where like I feel like I probably won some rounds that I shouldn't have, just because I was funnier that day. But it's fun. Like, but I'm competitive. All of us are. I definitely had to remind myself, like, hey man, like it's just a game show. Like it's just a game. At the end of the day, like I'm not getting anything extra to do this. Like I'm not, like it's not in my contract. Like you win 13 games a year, or else you're fired. Like it's not like that. So like it is fun at the end of the day. Like sometimes you just make good television. Like there have been days where it's like I have nothing to add about this, so I'm going to find like the most lighthearted point possible and really lean in. Or I know this is going to lose me points, but I'm not going to win anyways, and I think it's funny and good for the show. I'm just going to go into it. I'm going to dive in and make this joke. So it's things I'm getting used to, but it's seriously, it's awesome, man. Like it's so much fun. I'll be back on Tuesday, and I can't wait.
Well, Marcel, it's great hearing your voice. We're looking forward to seeing you this weekend at the stadium and throughout Buffalo this weekend as well. We're hoping for the best, and we'll get the chance to hopefully to do this again real soon, man. Best of luck, continued success, and thanks for joining us this afternoon, bud.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, Marcel.
Marcel Louis-Jacques, ESPN personality covering the Miami Dolphins.
I love that guy.
The best.
And he brings up a point. I'm sure there were people like, oh, you're joining the Dolphins. Like, you understand, though. You've got a bigger platform.
It's a hard thing for a lot of us to look outward and think that we aren't as big as Miami, or that there aren't as many opportunities as there are in a bigger market or an emerging market. And it's just the reality of the world, man. I mean, can you fault somebody who leaves Rochester to move to Nashville because there's opportunity there?
But I would like to follow up, and we'll never know this. Maybe I'll ask Elena off the record, which really I guess would be on the record if I bring it here. But like, since with Josh Allen, have the Bills grown as compared to other teams on ESPN?
Well, I was going to challenge Marcel on a couple of things. One of them being, you know what, maybe Buffalo isn't viewed the way some of the other markets are viewed or the other teams are viewed, but they haven't won anything. Like, if they win a Super Bowl, I would argue Buffalo is in consideration to become America's team, right? Like, there's nothing about the team to not like except, oh, they're from Buffalo. But you got the quarterback who's a star and a stud. You've got a defense. You've got a good unit of guys that are personalities and characters.
What do you not like about Buffalo from the outside? It's the fun fan base. Hey, we get a fun weather game.
Right.
We got a fun quarterback.
That's the part I don't get. If you get fatigue because Buffalo is always contending, I understand that. We felt that way about a lot of teams, mm-hmm. Including the original America's team, right? When the Cowboys were always good, it was like, oh, boy, the Cowboys again.
Well, we're feeling that way with the Chiefs. When the Chiefs broke through, hey, this is fun. And oh,
now
my
it's
gosh,
like, oh, again? Yeah, it's fatigue. Yeah,
shush, Binkley.
I mean, we should have these problems, right? Like, these are problems we wish we had. There was another thing that Marcel said, and I'll save this for happy hour, but I want to push back on it a little bit because I don't know that I agree with him entirely, and it's about Tyreek Hill. I don't know that Tyreek Hill is right this season, and I know that Marcel made the point about his size and the quarterback play I'll listen to, but he's been the same size and the same speed that he's been throughout the NFL. So what is it? What is it about Tyreek this season that has him off to this kind of slow start?
I think it's just this. Well, we'll save it here, but I have an answer.
All right, we'll get to that and more next. We have time for your calls, 866-4326, as we prepare for Sunday afternoon in Orchard Park, the Dolphins coming in to take on the Buffalo Bills, 585-866-4FAN.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.